Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Well, this is an old prayer, but I want to pray it, and I want y'all to pray with me. Let me get rid of this thing. This was spoken to us as a local. And the Lord said, I'm here to declare by the Spirit of the Lord that these chains of hindrances are breaking off of you. This is, I'm talking to everybody here now. That the covenant that has been, have been initiated within your life, even through your dreams, unknowingly or knowingly, are being broken right now in the name of Jesus. Now y'all repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, let every power of the enemy that is overshadowing my life, keeping me from walking in the fullness of what God has called me to, be removed in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I renounce every claim of the enemy. I renounce the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I renounce ungodliness. I renounce all doubt and unbelief. I renounce every spot and every wrinkle of this world out of my life. Anything that is keeping me from operating at my full capacity, I ask you to remove it from me right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that everyone here that that has received this and renounced it with their mouth has been freed from all these hindrances of doubt, unbelief, confusion, everything that has hindered their walk. Be gone right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we praise you. We glorify you. We thank you, Father, for your freedom. Above any and everything, your freedom, Father, to worship you in truth, and we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. I'll tell you something that happened last night in the fellowship, and I've asked the Lord to do the same here. Last night, there was a portal, a doorway that opened up in the fellowship. And these angels came out single file and went into the fellowship, lining up one angel per person all the way in the fellowship. And then I saw them, then we saw them, had a beaker of golden looking honey-like substance. And they started pouring it over everyone there. And I believe the Lord anointed people to break free from those hindrances that have kept them from drawing close to the Lord. And Lord, I just thank you. I believe you showed me earlier that you would do this. You told me earlier that you would do this from the outreach. Those who want to receive this anointing. And he said there's more to it than just that. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask and I pray that you anoint each and every one that wants it. In Jesus' name, and I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And Lord, I ask, and they ask with me. We're all in one accord here. I ask that you also fill them with your Holy Spirit, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everybody here, Lord. Praise you, Father, that you do this for everybody here. Ooh, my, my, my. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. If you receive it, say amen. Amen. I'll tell you a little thing on top of that. If the Lord came in also, Lord Jesus came in and sat down over there in Matt's home in a wooden chair. And he sat there for about an hour. He sat through some of the praise and worship. Then he sat through what David was talking about. But this is the good part or the funny part. When he got up to leave, he looked over at me and he smiled at me. And then he waved at me, kind of like it. How many of you know Jesus has got he can laugh with you just as well as, you know, we can laugh with each other. He grinned at me real big and he waved at me. He wanted me to wave back at him, but everybody was looking and I wasn't about to, you know, But I did one of these numbers, you know. Yeah, Jesus, I see, you know. He started laughing real big and off he went. But he stayed there about an hour, a little over an hour. He had a white robe on with a blue sash across it. It's awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. That's the second time I've seen him there with the white robe and the blue sash. I've seen him there both times. And it's awesome. We had an awesome time last night, or at least I did. It was good. People got set free last night also. I knew that. And people here is getting set free right now. You're getting set free right now. I believe it. I just believe it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. How many of you want to hear a good song now? Get you stirred up in your spirit. Okay, glory to God, we're going to do it. Lord willing. This is one of the old standards. Oh, come on now.
One accord.
One accord.
Come on, say every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise. praise. It's to our God. I want everybody all over the world to sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah. It's to our God. Every praise. Every praise. It's to our God. Let's take it up one more time. Every praise. Come on, everybody. Every word of worship. With one accord. Every praise. Every praise. It's to our God. I don't care how you're feeling right now. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah. Every praise. Every praise. It's to our God. Hey, this is what I love.
Awesome song. Glory to God. That's a good one. Yeah, Missy.
Ah, there. I couldn't get unmuted. I love that video.
Yeah, me too.
I'm torn about something in that video. There's just one thing that's wrong with that. And that's that Banff devil, Satan, in the background.
The what?
Banff, I believe is what you call him. The devil, the goat. In that fountain in the background. It was brought up once before when we talked
about it. I'm not looking for devil stuff. I'm looking for Jesus. I just ain't looking for no devil.
I ain't looking for it either, but... It was brought out. It was brought to our attention once. But you know, I just I kind of look at it. You know, praise and worshiping the Lord, and every praise is to our God. Yeah. And you know, in your face, Satan. You know,
amen.
He's enthroned upon our praises, and our praises defeats the enemy. So,
amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Lord, for flaunting it in His face. Thank you, Jesus. All right. All right, anyone else got something they'd like to share? Who that? Petra, I thought that's who that was. Hey, girl.
Good morning, everybody, or good evening, or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's good evening.
Good to see all the faces. Oh, let me just, hi. Hey.
Good to have you. We hadn't seen you in so long.
Yeah, I've been listening to you. Don't worry. I know what you're up to. I know everything.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds great. So how are you?
Yeah, I don't want to repeat your words always, Michael, but I'm blessed beyond. I'm just totally blessed. And it's trials and trials, and every time just thanking the Lord for trials and love and love and love, and thanking Him for love, and waiting and waiting and waiting. And what can I say more? Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Welcome to the club. That's great. That's great. You're getting good weather down there.
No, we do have. Although, you know, it depends on what you describe as good weather. It's been really, really hot. We had a better spell the last couple of days, but we're running into our 40s, 40, 42 degrees almost on a daily basis. That is Celsius. I don't know that we take it in Fahrenheit. What would that be? I think close to
Fahrenheit,
80, 90. And on the phone there, are you checking for me? I thought so. What is that? Yeah.
107 degrees? Oh, that's my kind of weather there.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. No.
No, that's like about the 80s, isn't it? About the 80s, but then the upper 80s and low 90s in the future here.
Mine says 104. 104 Fahrenheit.
Yeah. I'm making myself a cup of coffee that I can wake up, so then I'll settle with a light behind. But while I've got the audience, may I jump straight in and okay.
Yes, thank go right you. Ahead.
And for me, thank you, Michael. What is today? For me, it's Wednesday morning, so let's make it Tuesday evening. 2 days ago on Monday, I've been listening to the outreach for Middle March, and it was the one about faith. You recall the one that you talked about, referred to the faith talk that you had in November, you and Michael, and we, Benjamin talked, and Pat said a lot, and Anna told us about, what is your son's name again, Anna? Man.
Obadiah.
And Obadiah. Told us about him vibrating and everything. So may I take the conversation back to that faith? I don't know what you started off with now, if you're onto a topic, but I want to ask if I can take it back to that conversation just for a short while.
Sure.
Thank you. I've listened to the replay of it now twice. And when you spoke about it in November, it was mind confusing. And I talked to Paula about it because the different timelines and everything that happened at that stage on the timelines that you've explained was Yeah, it was quite something to grasp it. But on the other hand, like you've said so beautifully, it's so warming to have science prove our faith, because that is what quantum physics was for me. And when I started listening on Monday, I just thought, but what is this different? Is this really different than the faith that we always believed in, that we've read in the Bible about, that beautiful text that Pat took out of Hebrews, that we believe by faith that the world has been formed by from nothing, that he just, by word spoken, he just came about from nothing. And that's what faith always has been to me. So what is, why, I almost questioned why this boo about quantum faith. That was just in my mind.
I'm sorry.
Just want to say that the Lord is so amazing. Thank you. I've never spoken so much. You must just give me credit to this for this one. I've never ever spoken so much. The Lord immediately took me into a trial of quantum faith, and that's what I want to share with you guys. That for me to, I was listening, I was talking to you guys, and I think the Lord was over, he was eavesdropping. He was listening to what I was talking in my mind to you guys. And he said, okay, let me show you what is something that you have to understand about quantum faith. And I'm sure there are many, many different aspects, but the one of the timeline, and I think Benjamin also referred to it quite a bit, that because that also got stuck in my mind, the timeline thing about it. And I was busy in the kitchen, and I've got two little chickens. They're beautiful. They run around on my stand. And I received a text message, and I stopped listening, and I listened to this text message because, sorry, this is now a lengthy story. Can I? I'm not going to ask. Thank you, Pat. So I listened to the text message, and there's a builder down in the stand working on the garage, changing it into apartment for my landlady. And I heard the gate open, and I got this text message, and they weren't on the site on Monday. And he sent me a text message just to let me know that they'll only be back after Easter weekend. And I thought, okay, but oftentimes they come in, just come and fetch something from the site that they use on a different site. So I thought, okay, he was here and he remembered just to keep me updated, and he left again. But I walked out with letters, old letters that I wanted to give to these chickens. And they, most of the times of the day, they spend in the shadow, because I was always, every day I think, maybe today I'm going to have roasted chickens and not chickens running around anymore. So walking down towards this, it's a huge, beautiful fig tree, and they always roost in the bottom and scratching in the leaves and having their fun there. And while I was walking towards this tree, this one came running towards me, but totally annoyed, squeaking and making sounds. It was not at a good place. And I was looking around, where's the other one? And the other one was missing. And I just left the letters on the ground, then I started searching for the other one, because they're always like this. They like David and Jonathan. They're always together. And I was going through the whole stand, and I couldn't find it. All their favorite places, I couldn't find the other one. And I got upset, and I remembered, but I heard this gate open and close, and I thought, we've got a lot of hungry people in town, really people with a low income. And I've heard before that they do take your chickens because it's good food for them. And I immediately asked, Lord, this can't be. Please just protect my chickens. And I said, Lord, what is this? And quantum faith. Timelines. And I had to throw myself on a timeline of faith, saying this chicken is not gone. Now, Anna, why I'm taking it back to you is I thought by myself and maybe Missy, just to make this real, because I bonded with these chickens. They are really cute. But to make it more realistic, and I say, for instance, Obadiah was playing outside, and you're going outside to give him a cookie, and he's not there. it was a different aspect for me to face faith than believing I'm going to be healed, or I am healed, to picture myself as healed, or I've got headaches, now I don't got headaches anymore. Then now the chicken is not there. And I said to the Lord, what timeline now? So I walked around and I said, okay, chicken, I see you, chicken, I see you, chicken, I hear you. And I went back, and the whole day I went back up out into the F searching. I couldn't get the chicken. Evening came, normally they came up to the pen. The one chicken came up, the other one was missing. Next morning I left it out, other chicken is missing. And I'm stressed up because my hen is missing. And all the time I have to fight against this timeline of this chicken being roasted over a fire by somebody that's hungry. And this timeline exists because that is what I recall from the November teaching, is the two run parallel. This one really exists. So how I had to battle it through this timeline thing of what's the unfaith one, which is real. You must help me, Michael, because that is how I understood it. This timeline is a reality. In this timeline that I want to be in, the one of faith, is that my chicken has not been cooked on a fire, and my chicken is here in this, on my property. And the next day, Tuesday, I went on the whole day. I haven't had a chicken. There's no chicken. There's nothing. And every now and then I went out and I gave food and I talked to them and I talked to this invisible chicken as well. And later my landlady called me and she talked about the builders and how things going. And I told her, she asked, how's my chickens? And I said, no, this is what happened. She said, but you must call the builder and ask him. And I thought maybe I should just do this, to ask him whether he was in the stand or maybe it was this hungry person that opened the gate that I've heard. And I called him and he said, no, he wasn't there. And then I realized, okay, that was a person who took my, that I heard was the one that took my little hen. And I was talking with him and he said, but I must just check in the, they dug a pit for this sanitizing for the toilet. I must check there. And I said, okay, I'll check again. But I did. And I checked there, no chicken. And I was with him on the phone and I walked around the corner. Lo and behold, thank you, Father, there was my chicken. There was my hen back on my timeline. I can't tell you how I cried, how I thanked the Lord, and how I thanked him for this immense, for me it was a very intense trial to have these two timelines and realize this is really happening. And if I tell this to anybody else in this audience, they would say, oh, it just hit there, it wasn't there. But I knew the Lord told me I just knew by two reasons, because by faith, because the Lord was working in me. Secondly, because I've searched that whole place and it definitely was not there. And the next moment my chicken was back. Oh, thank you, Lord. It was
thank you, Jesus. Praise
it was
God.
So amazing.
That's awesome. That's an awesome, awesome testimony. Thank you, Lord. That's quantum faith.
But yeah, that was for me, because I questioned it and I said, but why, what is it different than faith? And I'm still battling. Benjamin used the words, it's still molding, or what was your words, Benjamin? It's still, the concept is still molding in my mind. So I'm working through this and I'm working through, like Abijah, Missy, if your grandchildren were playing outside and suddenly they're missing. It's how is this situation different than believing for healing the ear thing, that little thing that have to drop out of the ear? That's faith, having faith that it's not there anymore, and having faith for seeing this, Anna, this timeline of your child being kidnapped and is into a plane, a different place in the timeline, you believe he's with you still in your house. That was really, really, really very intense to me. But going back, and I listened to the whole broadcast again, and I do have questions that I did not hear anybody talk about, and that is, there are so many people out there having, saying and believing a positive attitude will bring you something. People, non-believers, just say be positive. Or athletes that say, visualize this race and then it will happen like that. And in a sense, then, that is also quantum faith, if you look at it in that way. And they're not believers. And what is the difference if I accept that that is quantum faith as well? For me, there must be an aspect which haven't been touched on, maybe just because we all know that, or maybe doesn't exist in quantum faith. But I can't have faith unless it is God's faith, unless it's faith that has been given from God. And I just want to hear that everybody agrees that, that's part of faith. Or is that only part of God's faith timeline, and all the other faith are on the devil's timeline? How do I mold that in my mind, bringing faith in from that it's not from ourselves, everything is from God? And I give over, I'm done. I'm giving over the table.
Okay. Okay. Pat, do you have something you want to say?
Two things. Petra, I appreciate your sharing. That was awesome. And it's good to hear you talk. The thing that the Lord has been showing me, it's almost like a scattergun or a shotgun. He is showing me a lot of different things in different areas. It's kind of, I don't know how to explain it. It's like one day it's something here and another day it's something there. And so I believe he is going to put it all together in clarity soon. But in reference to what you were talking about, because I was just thinking about this the other day, and there was a person. I think he made the power of positive thinking popular in the 40s or 50s or something like that. I don't know. His name was Norman Vincent Peale. I'm not going to go there, but there is a lot of this whole concept of just, positively, thinking in the positive, don't let negative thoughts come in, and always think positive and, always on the sunny side type of thing. And I kind of pieced it together, going back into Genesis when Babylon, when the Tower of Babylon was being built, and the Lord basically said, now what the mind of man can conceive, he will achieve.
Wow.
Therefore, now, this was unregenerate man. This was man that was functioning off of the original purpose or creation that God gave us, created man in Genesis 1:26 to take dominion over the earth. And and functioning in that perspective. And in that taking and exercising authority and taking dominion, he was functioning in, shall we say, in the power of man. Michael?
Yes.
Would you mind turning your mic off or something? You were rattling.
I'm sorry.
It was my ears. So here, they were functioning off of that principle of the creation of man and man creating and that whole process. Where was I going with this? There was a difference because at the fall, Satan usurped the power of man, and the world fell under the jurisdiction of the devil's control. And because of that, there was a change, obviously, when Jesus came. I might be getting way off base here. I don't know. When Jesus came and he reset that and brought the jurisdiction of the earth back under his reign. Matter of fact, I think I am getting off. I'm thinking of something else that I was dealing with. But I think what I was thinking in your question was how do you put those two in perspective, whether it is man and positive thinking or Jesus or God and his thinking, because the apparatus, so to speak, is the same. It's still God. It's still the Spirit of God working through us. Uniting and becoming one with his word and expressing that word. The first was that word being expressed through simply man, who was under the authority of the devil. The example being the Tower of Babylon. When Jesus came, there's a major transition there. We now, those of us who have believed, received Christ, have been translated out of that previous kingdom and ushered into the higher jurisdiction at the right hand of God underneath or in Jesus. I don't know if I'm even explaining that, or maybe I'm just muddling the water, but that's kind of the way I was seeing it. The difference between just positive thinking is the anchor of the Word of God being that that foundation or that anchor, so to speak, that we are conveying, that we are communicating that truth. Does that sound right, or is that muddled up?
Let me put it a little bit simpler. Let me put it in a little bit simpler terms. God's laws work regardless of who utilizes it. But God, in all his wisdom, gives us a measure of faith. Listen, quantum mechanics works whether or not I say it, you say it, or anybody else says it. That's a natural scientific fact. Therefore, you can sit here and confess positive things and they'll happen. They will happen. The difference is at the end, right? What did Jesus, what did the Lord say when they were building the Tower of Babel? They were going, man, they're gonna build that thing. They can do whatever they think about they want to do. Because they're saying that's what they want to do. He said, let's confound their language. So what he was telling us, anybody could do this. Power of positive thinking, or positive confession, actually. And, yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Well, what I was thinking was, is that what you were starting to say was about faith. You know, God gives us faith to believe things for the purpose of his kingdom, to build his kingdom. Okay. The wicked can't think of things like that because they're Satan's kingdom. Everything that they do is for self, me, self, and I, and the flesh, which serves Satan's kingdom. Our faith. They have a faith too. They have a faith too, but it's a faith to, and most don't even recognize this. It's a faith to build Satan's kingdom. We have a faith to build God's kingdom, which we know who wins in the end. That's just how I'd say it. You know?
Well, it's still faith. It's all faith, and it comes from God.
Right.
Right? Right?
Right.
It's the laws of quantum mechanics. It's the laws of, I don't know, I've still got this stupid delay in there where I get talked to. But quantum faith works for everybody. It works. The difference is this, Petra. We have God showing us that we keep confessing it, just like you did. You kept confessing it. You kept confessing it. And quantum faith then was able to work. That cloud that was there, remember the cloud? They said before anybody looked at it, there was a cloud in the atomic microscope. And then when they looked at it, it changed into a particle. That thing was fixing to go to work. Didn't make any difference who looked at it. These were not, I'm sure, weren't, they were scientists. They were looking at it and they understood that that thing was responding to whoever looked at it. That's what started the whole process of your faith bringing that chicken back into the timeline that you wanted it rather than what somebody else wanted it. And that's what brought it to fruition, was when you kept believing it. Bless God. And the Lord was watching you and helping you do that. I hate this delay I've got in there because I can't understand somebody not responding when I say the time that I say it. It's sillified. But anyway, does that make sense? Any better sense?
Thank you, Michael. It makes a lot of sense. And but then the point is that unbelievers, the verse that just comes to me is the one that Jesus quoted that says, but ye are gods. And referring back to Tower of Babylon, anybody can create, and in the end times, that's maybe part of the why it's so deceptive, is that all these miracles and signs that follows the kingdom of God and these children can be reproduced on the other side as well. And it's going to be, you're going to have a lot of discernment to know who's on which side. I think we will know. But
yes. Yeah. Yes. That's the difference right there. And Missy alluded to it a while ago, is that when we are believing, we also incorporate the angels. We also incorporate God's kingdom involved. Remember what Jesus said? You know, you did all this. You go up there and you can say, well, I healed all these people. I did all this. I did all that. And the Lord will say, I never knew you. I never knew you. So what that tells us is, yes, quantum faith works for anybody. It can work for, you know, anyone that knows anything. Quantum faith proves the Bible.
Absolutely. But going back to the point of the angels, and your other remark is that God's spiritual laws works for everybody, irrespective of whether you're a believer or not. And referring to the angel, I always see in my mind immediately the contra of that is that in the kingdom of darkness, quantum faith are being operated by the devil and his demons. So you also make use of these angels. So just yes. as much as we have our angels, there are those operating there, bringing that about.
Yes.
It's scary because I think so many people using the power of positive thinking, and there are many, don't realize how much they utilize demons and devils. I think they would be horrified if they realized that. But I'm done. Thank you.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Satan has his miracles too. He has his miracles too. They can levitate. They can translate. They can go here. They can go there in this, their spirit realm. Not like we can, though, because we have the Holy Spirit in us that helps us go where we want, where He wants us to go, and to do the things that He wants us to do, like Missy said a while ago, the good things of God. But the devil is always doing the bad things of Satan. They're doing it for show. The Lord is doing it for good, to help somebody. Remember the story, I don't know if you heard this, Petra, on the outreach, of Mr. Grubbs that got translated on the top of an airplane that was flying around, and he was straddling that airplane.
No.
The guy got lost that was flying the airplane, and he got translated straddling the airplane, holding on the plane while he was flying. And the Lord tell him to do this, tell him to do that, tell him to do this, and got the man back to where he could land his plane, and he knew where he was. In other words, he was lost, and God helped him get found by Mr. Grubbs hanging on the airplane, telling him, go this way, go this way. Go this way, you know, and he got him back to his airport safely. That's a God thing. That's not a devil thing.
Yeah. It's for me such a privilege to be open to believe. There are so many people that will listen to these and they will just shrug and say, ugh, you know. And I just think, how? Oh, everybody's hands are up and I'm just talking. I'm so sorry. I forgot the rules.
No, that's okay.
Sorry, Vanita and Missy. I'll stop talking now. But just it just fills me with so much gratitude that the Lord has opened us to believe. It's just such a privilege. Thank you.
Yeah. There is a song by, what's that, Walker Smith girl, what's her name? Kim Walker Smith, is that it? Boxes?
Boxes.
And she talks about letting God out the box. And that's what God wants. He wants us out of the box. Believe Him for anything. Believe Him for a chicken that you know somebody swiped and took out of your yard But you're not going to believe that. You believe in the, you're going to get back on the timeline before that chicken left, and you're going to get that chicken back because you're believing. And bless God, that's what happened. You're going to have chicken and dumplings one of these days, and you're going to be praising God. Thank you, Lord. All right, Pat, go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say, so I'll let Missy or Vanita go.
I'm sorry, Pat. All right, Missy, go ahead.
Vanita can go first since she didn't get to talk yet. Go ahead, Vanita.
All right, it's like duck, duck, goose. I was just going to say, as I was mulling over what Patrick was saying, the idea that, you know, there's only two men in the world. There's Christ and Antichrist. And it reigns for all of us and, you know, on all of our crops. And they're polite and they have, you know, positive thinking, but there's just only Antichrist and Antichrist, so there's a purpose behind that. So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay. All right, Missy, I couldn't understand her. She messed up there at the last of mine. Okay, let's pray for, what does that say? Could I please have agreement in prayer? Dear Lord, I'm binding Satan and his wicked demons and dispatching warring angels to form a hedge of protection around Romeo from the enemy. And I command healing in the name, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We believe with her and we thank you, Father, that he has that hedge of protection around him and no attack from the enemy will penetrate that war, those warring angels in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, Missy.
Okay. I was just gonna say, you know, talking about this, you know, depending on which kingdom you're in, you serve and the things that you believe and the things that you say. And it's like, you know, Satan's kingdom, those who are in Satan's kingdom, you know, they can do things like we're just fighting, you know, and what came to me was speaking curses, witchcraft, you know? But we use warfare, and our authority is binds and does not permit their speaking to take hold. You know, we can bind their fiery darts and all. You know, it's like taking Satan's armor. You know, there's one stronger taking his armor. Our authority is greater. Our words are more powerful. Our words of faith. But that's just some things that were just going through my mind about all that.
Amen. Okay, Missy, can you hear me now? Okay, well, it's still a delay. I thought I had it wrong way. Go ahead, Pat.
So, when I'm kind of mulling some things over in my mind here, and when the devil came to Eve and deceived them, and they fell into sin, it was at that point in time that this world excuse me. This world that Adam had been given dominion of was his dominion. When the devil came in and deceived them in committing sin, they then fell under the authority or under the dominion of the devil. That authority was usurped. In other words, it wasn't originally given to the devil, but this earth was given to mankind. He came in and usurped it by deceiving Adam and Eve into falling, obeying him, and therefore they become his, under his dominion. When Jesus came and obeyed God through the process and refused to obey Satan, he lived the life that brought that mankind back out under from underneath that dominion. And of course, the crucifixion and the resurrection was the part where that life became available to us. But the point being, now we being born again or reborn are able and being infused into the life of Jesus are now sitting at the right hand of God under in his jurisdiction level. He is over the whole shooting match. So we are in essence not under the devil's jurisdiction. We dwell in a world that is under, but we are not under it. So therefore, those being over authority over the devil, we have, what am I trying to say? I think I'm getting mixed up, but that's the connection where I'm at right now. I'm just going to say it right there. That's the connection that I'm at right now that I guess I need to be clear on and understand. And that's the very, the place where the weapons of our warfare, which are not of this earthly realm, are mighty and powerful because they are connected with a higher jurisdiction. I'm going to have to think that process through. But that's kind of where I am ending up in this whole thing right now. So I don't know if that muddies the water or what, but I'll just let it go at that.
Let me say this about quantum faith. Can y'all hear me? That's too late, for goodness sake. Just a minute. Let me try something else here. we'll have to just deal with it. Quantum faith is Mark 11, 23 and 24. Period. Okay, you got that. Mark 11, 23 and 24 is quantum faith. Praise God. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was wondering, could it be Ephesians 4 and 4 to 4 and 6 too?
What does it say?
One body, one spirit, one hope of the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of us all, who is over all, in all, and through all. Like, if he's all in all, you know, like, and in another place, he's supposed to walk in us. You know that verse in 2 Corinthians 6 and 16? For what agreement hath God's sanctuary with idols? For we are the living God's sanctuary, and he said that I will dwell in them and walk and be their God. Now, I realize that this quantum faith has to do a lot with God's sovereignty. So there's just some thoughts there that I'm mentioning, you know, because if you're gonna look at that Mark 11:24, the first part of it is a command, and the second part of it is a promise.
Yep.
Right. How does it say it there? Mark. Eleven, 24.
It says Mark 11, 23.
Says there,
verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he says comes to pass, he shall have it. Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe, you have to believe, that ye received, past tense, them. That's what Petra was doing with that chicken. And you shall have them.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, Michael, is, therefore I say unto you, that's a command. And then the second part is the promise. All things whatsoever you can ask for. So it's God's command. Mm-hmm. That's authoritative. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if that helps people. So if it's Jesus's command, and you know, we're supposed to be having boldness, and in whom we have boldness, in his faith there. What's it say in 3:12 of Ephesians? In whom we have boldness, anyway, it says something good there too.
Amen.
And confidence in him, and we get Jesus's faith in Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence unto his faith. So we get Jesus's faith, and Jesus tells us after he destroyed a fig tree to have God's faith. So, you know, if any love me, he'll keep my word. and my Father will love him. And we will come and abide in him. So I don't know, but if you love God, it never fails. But we need the truth, of course. But as for this quantum faith thing, when Jesus healed that blind man, and he said, I see man walking as trees, and then he said again, now what do you see? And he said that he saw clearly. So isn't that how it worked for him there too? Because he waited on that one for a little while anyway. Is that not what people do when they pray for someone and then they pray again? And they pray, you know, I've seen a couple of street preachers doing this, you know, praying for people and they would pray again. Or do I have this wrong about quantum faith that these people who pray for people once and then they said, no, it's a little better, but it's not yet gone. And then they'll pray again and then they get better as they go on. Anyway, I don't know if I'm speaking correctly or maybe this word quantum. Praise God.
Amen. Judah brought up a good point. This is Romans 4:17. Is that who in hope believed against hope to the end that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which, wait, that's the wrong one. 17. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made thee before him whom he believed, even God who giveth life to the dead, and calleth the things that are not as though they were. He's telling you that you can create things by the what you speak. Okay, Pat, go ahead.
So can I just ask a question before I lose this thought?
Yeah, sorry, go Pat. Ahead.
So Jesus really desired to eat that Passover with his disciples. And he said, okay, you're going to go into the city over there and you're going to see a man walking by with a pitcher in his hand. Follow him and he'll show you a large upper room. So is this Jesus' idea, since God would probably leave it into his hands to do it? Like, you know what I'm talking about? He's saying, okay, we're going to have the Passover, so go over into that city over there, and you're going to see a man walking by with a pitcher in his hand. Follow that guy, and the place he takes you, there'll be a large upper room fully furnished for us to eat the Passover. Is this Jesus acting on this thing he wants to see happen, and then the two guys go, and they see the guy with the pitcher, they follow him, he shows them in a large upper room, and everything came to pass, like Jesus said. And that's the power of the body of Christ. Now,
I'm not sure of the question, but if you're
to asking, have that imagination,
yes,
it would be like a little child asking for a bag of potato chips. Okay, but Jesus is asking for all this scenario of events to happen, for his two people to go and find that upper room where they're going to have the Passover feast that Jesus really desired to have with his disciples. Now, do you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying, but what did Jesus say? Jesus said, unless my Father tell me.
Except the Father tell me. Yeah, but was the Father actually speaking to Jesus there? Or my question is because he had this huge desire to eat this Passover, he just said where it was going to happen without asking the Father. You know, he was given the command to do this because the Father would know how much he desired it. Because this is a desire now, and there is negative desire, but there is also positive. You know, he like we talk about him in Hebrews there, where he cleaved to his cross. It was a desire for him to do this. So even though it was the Father's order, and the Father had to say to him, yeah, you have to go. But he said, he even asked him, can this cup be passed by me? Or not my will, Father, but your will. So he was prompted for the desire to go to the cross also, because his Father would have said, it's my will here, son, and you have to do this, as we have to go to our cross too. These are more like questions speaking off the top of my head as to how this might work out.
Yeah, could very well be. I know his flesh didn't want to go to the cross, but the Spirit of God wanted to go, had to go, knew he had to go. And, you know, that's okay, Pat, go ahead, brother.
So to answer your question, it's probably my thought in what you're saying, Andrew, is it's probably both. It's probably God originated and it's probably Jesus originated, but it's hard to say. Because one of the things that I think, I know that I'm learning, and that is, we're continuing to learn new things. And even, what, 6 months ago, we weren't even thinking in terms of quantum faith and that sort of thing. Walking down that path, God has opened up given us awareness into the applications of those and allowed us to go back and actually review the word and find out that it was in the word in the first place, and so there's things, I think, that number one, that we're learning through the process. And so, because I keep going back to that point, as we, Jesus said, many of these works shall you do, but greater than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. And Jesus is to us in two different manifestations, but the same. He is not only the perfection of humanity, of mankind, the perfection, that perfect place, or that perfect, complete, whole individual, but he's also the seed, the word that goes out and grows and grows up within us as we are consuming him. So he's not only the scripture, he's the author and the finisher. Doesn't mean he's the author and then later on down the line he's going to be the finisher. He's both at the same time. And we're looking at him as one right now. So sometimes I think sometimes I don't know if I'm looking at the finished or the seed, how this is supposed to work. But anyway, The Lord has been taking me through Joshua, and there's a couple things there that kind of chime in with what we're speaking about tonight, and that is, and I think this is, you know, a new aspect, at least for me. I don't think it's a new aspect for you, all of you out there, but it's a clarification and a new depth of this walk that the Lord is taking me through, and it is when Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, many of the aspects of that process really reflect on what Moses did in crossing the Red Sea. The Jordan River opened up, dried up, so that they walked across on that, etc. Kind of the same concept, except the difference is now they were taking the promised land. And the first place that the Lord led them to was Jericho. And I think it, to me, I could see how it was significant, at least in what the Lord is teaching me now, is it was significant that he led them to Jericho first, because Jericho was this massive, huge, high-walled, defended city. It was that mountain. It was that huge, it represented that unbelievable, impregnable problem or whatever that you have in your life that's facing you right now. And this is where, I'd have to think about this for a while, but this is where God told this army to take Jericho by simply marching around that city once, twice, and they did it for 7 days or 6 days. On the seventh day, and all the time, I think the Ark of the Covenant or the appraisers or something were out ahead. And again, I'm still reading on this again to kind of refresh my memory. But they walked around that city 7 times. And then the last day they shouted, and I think they broke, clay pots or whatever it was. I probably should have read that completely before I started speaking about it. But they learned and had to learn how to depend upon weapons that they were not used to, that they hadn't used before. Or at least that these were unfamiliar weapons to them. They were not weapons of the carnal nature or the world or earthly level. These were weapons that were of God's jurisdiction. And these were the weapons, and they never, I mean, I think the thing that I was thinking about this, it's hitting me, is that he took these this army of, you know, these guys were warriors, swords, you know, whack off your head type of battles, you know, that sort of thing. And Joshua commanded them to just simply march around that city. And I would imagine that on the first day, let's just say the first day, they were walking around, they had to be thinking things like, what are we doing? What is this? Does Joshua really know what he's doing in this process? Or, you know, what? I've never seen this before. And all of these negative thoughts that were coming in as temptations, in order to try those warriors, in order to test them, they had to, if they were going to trust their leader and trust God, they had to cast those mental images down. And at the same time, they had to set their sword to the side, keep it sheathed, and simply walk quietly around this city. And so it's a necessary process to allow the devil to throw his warfare at you, so to speak, so that you can participate in the process of casting it down. Because it is those battles, as the Lord has shown us, are not battles that are won through strength and might. They're won by internal faith. And like Petra was going, calling the things that are not as though they were. Those are weapons that are not of this world, but God says that they are mighty or powerful or dunamis. They're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Those, and of course, you know, we read the rest of the story, and at the very end, it's the praisers that praise, and those walls fell because of praise and obedience and faith. And they didn't have to, you know, they went in to take the land, but the battle was functioning off of of weapons that are not of this world. And so, I think that the concept of speaking in agreement, simply just speaking in agreement with God's word. Another weapon that overcomes and is not of this world, it's no one would, you know, the people of the world would not say, all right, all you have to do is just speak in agreement with this particular promise here, and you're going to have what you are asking, what you're trusting God for. That's not a weapon that is familiar with this world. That's something that God has given us. And so, anyway, I don't know where I'm going with that, but that's kind of where I'm ending up through this process here.
Okay. Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Missy. No.
I was thinking about what, you know, Andrew was saying about Jesus saying, you know, go ahead and you'll see this and you'll see that, you know, man, you know, to prepare the upper room and where to go and everything. And I'm like, okay. Well, okay, God is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, right? So he knows all and he sees all. And, you know, with God, there isn't time. So I'm just thinking out loud. I'm like thinking, okay, now, you know, Jesus may have known that because of maybe he sees the end from the beginning. In other words, with him, he doesn't dwell in time. He had to walk in the spirit all the time. My thought to overcome the flesh, overcome, you know, all these things. So I'm just telling you what I'm thinking, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe he had a vision of seeing this play out and he knew what to ask, you know, or what to say or what to tell him to do. And like when it comes to the donkey, he told him to, you know, where to go to get the donkey. Well, that's kind of part of scripture. So, you know, he knew the word well enough to know that it was in the Old Testament. I think it's in, I forget where it's at about the donkey, you know, about the foal of an ass or whatever. It's what it says. But I'm just like thinking, you know, the gifts are definitely in operation, but how they operated, you know, because when you really think about it, all the gifts operate according to the quantum faith, according to faith. So I'm just like throwing these things out here. All these things come into my mind, you know, of how Jesus knew what to say or what to do. And it could just be the power of just the spirit telling him, you know, the Father just talking to him. You know, it's a lot of different ways that he could have known what to say or what to do, you know, and what exactly how that was operating, what gift was operating or whatever, or, you know, depends, you know. It's just some things that were coming to my mind about that.
I mean, but he told him to go get that donkey. And they went and got that donkey. I think God told him, you know, go get that donkey. Get that room up there. I'm trying to find out if I've got a delay here. Yeah, there's a delay. You gotta go in Jesus' name. Anyway, anybody else? Anybody got any recommendations on this delay in my talk? Didn't used to happen.
Do you have your VPN on?
Uh-oh.
No.
No. No. I'm going to make sure here, just to make sure, but I turned it off the other day. Yeah, Missy.
Earlier when you stopped and made an adjustment and we couldn't hear you there, we were telling you we couldn't hear you. Now, and it's kind of staticky or I don't know if I want to say staticky, kind of, I don't know. Your speaking isn't clear.
Well, God forbid I speak not clear. Let's see.
It's just the techy thing.
Is it static?
Not as loud, Michael. No, oh, okay. It's just not as loud.
As it was just
it's like whatever.
It almost seems like it's muffled.
Right.
I think you're using your computer mic and not the Bluetooth mic, but I'm not sure what you're connected to.
Yeah, that was a good word, Pat. You sound muffled.
All right, how's that? Is that better? Okay. Now I'm talking. Can you hear me? Too late. That's about 10 seconds. I don't know. But anyway, let's go on. Anybody else got any? Yeah, Missy, go ahead. You got your hand up. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Well, we talked about something a while ago. Somebody brought up witchcraft, curses. I think it was Missy Miami. Yeah. Okay. Can anyone tell me what form, of, how many forms of witchcraft curses are there? What constitutes a witchcraft curse? Yes, Judy.
Wouldn't it just be speaking against, you know, wanting evil done, speaking against something, saying something evil about somebody, wishing something evil? Even your opinion can be witchcraft, you know, if it's not with the right heart, right?
Yeah, yeah. All of that, what you just said is true. Then there's another kind. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I don't know if you'd exactly call it witchcraft, but it could be witchcraft if it's deliberate. Speaking something that's not, that doesn't line up with God's word.
Amen. Okay. That's speaking, but what else can be constant? What else can, listen, what I'm getting at is someone in Christian background that has been factioned out can pray against a fellowship or a person and believe that they're praying to God when in fact they're cursing them. That is witchcraft. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. I want to make that clear because a lot of people get hung up on that and don't understand how it can be a curse from the faction. Anything that they, just like Missy said, anything that they speak against, pray against a true man or woman of God or fellowship is witchcraft. They're speaking curses against it because they're not in fellowship with the Lord. All right, anyone else? I just want to bring that out just for a second.
Is that because they are in rebellion against God?
Absolutely. Yeah, they're as Ben said, they're praying to a different Jesus. Because they're in disobedience to the Word of God. And they're trying to control, which is what? Witchcraft. They're trying to control a fellowship, a person, or whatever. And that's witchcraft. Get it, Petra. I saw you. Get that bug in Jesus' name. There you go. Yes, squirt that thing, daughter of God. Can't get away now. All right, anybody else? Idols, yeah. Demons. Okay. Anybody else on quantum faith? I love quantum faith. That was a faith builder for me. It was a good faith builder for me because I understood, believe it or not, I understood what they were talking about, the quantum faith. It says my internet connection is unstable. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. You go from my communications in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Has anybody else got a question or anything on anything? This is Potpourri Night. How does healing work? Same way. Same way as a chicken. That's the same way. Joe, you got electricity. Praise God.
Yeah, it's forecast for a couple of, well, I think a week now. We're not going to have some load shedding. So praise the Lord. Let's all hold on to that.
Yeah, praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Has anybody got anything on their mind they'd like to talk about? Well, I just wonder if we ought to go home. I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Vanita.
I just wanted to give a praise report. Grandma went today at noon to be with the Lord, and she is at peace, and praise the Lord, and her dreams have come true. So that's just a relief for her for all these years. Grandpa passed away in 1987, so ever since then she's been asking us to pray for this. So 99 5/6.
Amen. That's awesome. Thank you, Amen. Lord, for bringing my grandma home. Boy, she's running up and down the hills of heaven right now.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Go ahead, Petra.
Thank you, Michael. I've just got a small praise report. There's never a small one, sorry. A praise report. And Joe actually made me think of that with his report of the Lord. That's so good for you sometimes, even without asking. We took that guy in for the eye operation. So recently I went on leave. I actually took my Jeep that we all prayed for and I went camping. And I was up in the northern part of South Africa where it's really hot too. And I was camping, so I was suffering. But I was spending most of my time with the Lord and reading Andrew Murray on obedience, which was quite a eye-opener for me of how he sees obedience. And I was trying to live it like literally every moment while I was there. And it's funny how one's eyes, I can't believe afterwards how good the Lord was for me. On that particular day, it was like 42 degrees in the shade, that 407 degrees Fahrenheit, and I was camping, so I was really not comfortable. But the camping area where I was very close to what we call rondavels, those little round huts, which they rent out for accommodation for people that spend more money, and then you've got a little aircon against the wall. So during the day when it was so hot, I slipped into one of those that there wasn't somebody staying over paying for it. And I didn't want to touch anything because it was beautifully prepared for the next people coming in. So I just switched on the aircon, and for a short while I was laying on the cement floor just to cool down. I was really suffering. And just out of the blue, I can't say that I heard a voice, the Lord talking to me or nothing. I just jumped out and I ran out of that hut and I went around the corner back to my campsite. And when I looked back, people stopped next to it. They were using it for that evening. They paid for it. And I would have been so embarrassed if they caught me in this rondavel of theirs, which they paid for. And I was so, so thankful for the Lord for saving me from that humiliation. And but I still stressed that I jumped up and I ran out, but I forgot my cell phone there, so I had to go back. So the Lord took me a little bit further. So this man was looking up and down, and I thought, oh my goodness. And I thought, oh, my cell phone is there. So I walked back and I said, sir, I'm sorry. He said, is it your cell phone? I said, yes. And he had this frown. He wasn't happy with someone being in his room. And I apologized. I said, I was sorry. I just charged it there, which is also true. I charged my phone there. So he gave it to me and I walked back. And the whole afternoon I stressed because he immediately got in his car and he drove away. And I thought, he's going back to the office. He's going to report me. And I thought, you know, I'm on this trial of this journey of being obedient. And what did I do? I was lying in this hut that wasn't mine. And I thought, I'm so holy and I'm just doing everything every moment right according to the God, according to what he speaks into me. And he had to show me how wrong I am utilizing this hut. But he had grace on me. He had me run out of it before I got humiliated. And I was just so, so thankful. And that whole afternoon I stressed. And I mean, I think he made the point very well that don't do that again. But nothing happened and nobody came back and scolded me about the wrongdoing. But I was just so amazed at his grace for warning me beforehand just to get out of there. While I was doing something wrong, he had the grace to help me. Wow. Yeah, that's all I just wanted to say.
Amen. All right, ma'am, go ahead.
I just got a, well, could be a big question, but I'll label it as a little. So I was reading through Matthew 24 last night. In the fifth verse, it says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall lead many astray. And this is a verse that people quote to me a lot when I start talking about the man child. And they're like, oh, well, that's that guy. And so I have a hard time trying to portray that in, because I know that the Lord will come through a corporate body of his man-child ministry. And I do believe that these, I would say, false man-childs have already come. And we've already seen a couple of them. But I think in the days that are coming, I think that these man-childs will be, these fake man-childs will be more deceiving. And more, I don't know, like more convincing that they could be the man child. And so I think that's where there's going to be a great deception. And so it also says that these people will do great wonders, but what great wonders are they going to do? Because they can't do healings because that's a Holy Spirit gift. And so what would be their great wonders or their great gifts that they could do? Just because I was thinking about it and I'm like, I know we know them by their fruits, but you know, like what are they going to be doing? Are they going to be, I don't know, doing some crazy stuff too? Just asking because, you know,
you hit the nail right on the head when you said they're going to be bearing fruit. Well, they got to look like Jesus. If they don't look like Jesus, they ain't Jesus. You see what I'm saying? What did Jesus what was his four-letter word that he always promoted? L-O-E-E.
That'd be love.
Yeah. That's yeah. love. And if he did, with signs and wonders following, you're going to see that. The Manchild's going to be teaching the bride. He's going to be teaching, you know, a lot. He's going to be, there's going to be a lot of that going on. But there'll also be signs and wonders. You know what the signs and wonders are going to be? He's going to be bringing judgment too. And, but he's going to show the love of Christ. He's going to have the love of Christ on him, like Jesus did. Well, they could be dying about, you know. They're going to be wanting money for this stuff.
I was thinking, like, because Judas also healed people, yep. you know? So I guess that's not much of an example of, oh, that person has to be saved because he's healing people. You know, it could be a son of perdition. Anyways, just a quick question.
Well, what is that?
Thank you.
First Corinthians chapter 13, isn't it? Or is it 2 Corinthians, the love chapter? Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Yeah, Julie, go ahead. I'm sorry. Didn't see you hear that.
That's okay. That's what Ben's talking about. David's addressed this about the false man-child, and you're right, they have already, a lot of them have shown up. There's been a lot of these false revivals that had lying signs and wonders, you know, the different things, and like the gold dust and that kind of thing. That's a big wonder, but, you know, it's big signs and wonders. But I remember David teaching, I would suggest to you, Ben, to go on the website and go under those teachings under false revival movement. The audios, miscellaneous, or under the teachings, I think. Under the teachings, revelations and teachings, there's a whole section there on the false revival. I think that's what is Brownsville and that kind of thing. But they also, there was healings because it's, you know, Satan can manifest that kind of stuff, but do they last? I guess that was part of it. Do those healings and deliverances last? And, but one of the things I remember David teaching on that is that, I guess like the analogy that I've been given is like, you know, you study the truth so you know what the real thing looks like. Like, you know, the people in the bank, they study the real currency so they know what the real thing looks like. So when a false one shows up, they're like immediately go, that's not right. There's something wrong with this. And they know what it is. So it's like when you, and God gives you discernment. He has, you know, we have the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth. And I remember David saying too, it's like a lot of those people when they went to those revivals and stuff, you know, they were spared just saying, if this isn't you, God, I don't want it. If this isn't Jesus, I don't want it. They were protected. But then there are others that just wanted to, oh, this is a great sign. Look at all what they're doing there. And, you know, and there's real revival, but they don't know what the, you know, what the real thing looks like anyhow. So they're just looking for, you know, big things happening and that kind of thing too. You know, that's what was coming to my mind when you talked about that was, the real man child is going to look and act like Jesus. And he's going to have authority. He's going to bring judgment like Michael was saying, I think. And there's going to be the fear of the Lord. There's going to be holiness. I mean, just, the fear of the Lord fell upon people like with, you know, and people were caught lying to the Holy Spirit, Ananias and Sapphira, you know, it was going to be all kinds of things. So people are wanting the truth. God will give them the truth, right? That's kind of how I see it. That's how I remember those false revival teachings and stuff.
Yeah, that's
Jesus is in them, the right?
Spirit.
The real. Yep. The laughing.
Yeah.
The animal noises.
Andrew Strom has a good teaching on that.
Yeah. Yeah, my friend Paula recently put that in the chat about the updated video that Andrew has out there.
Yeah. Also, false. There are other false preachers too. There's the prosperity preachers. They're preaching gimme, 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 gimme. You know, they're selling healing too. They're selling all kinds of stuff. That's false preachers. The ones that you're going to see that are the true man-child ministries is going to be the ones that look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and act like Jesus. And he healed them all because he had compassion. Everywhere he healed them all, he had compassion. But when he have compassion, you want to see everybody. You want to see all people that are suffering to keep from suffering. I remember the story that a guy told. He said he found himself, he was translated over into, I believe it was in France somewhere, and it was in a hospital. And there was 8 beds in the room he was in, and they were all children. And his job, he knew what his job was. The Lord had already placed it in his mind what it was. And he didn't go in there in a big dramatic way and say, in the name of Jesus and all that stuff. All he did was go in there, lay his hand on their heads and be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. All 8 of them got up and walked out. That's Jesus. Be healed. Now, all he said was be healed. He didn't even say in the name of Jesus. He just said be healed. Because we walk in the name of Jesus, don't we? We are Jesus. Jesus is inside of us. And if Jesus is inside of us, we don't have to say a mantra. We just act like Jesus. Right? Just put your hand on and be healed. What did Jesus do? That's what he did. He put his hand. That's what the man child's going to do. He's going to go up there and say, be here. You be here. You be here. Rise up. Remember what Peter told him? Rise up. Take your bed and get on out of here. Yeah, something like that. Go ahead, Pepper.
Something that you said is that, and I'm just connecting this back to quantum faith, is that you also said in that outreach, and I think maybe somebody also repeated it now, that is, what was Jesus like we're saying now? What did he do? And his love, and he acted in love, and everything was always about the people that somebody that he ministered to. And going back to quantum faith and that huge push of positive power of positive thinking and the faith that those people use with their power of positive thinking. It's always about self, the power of positive thinking. You 99% of the people out there believing the power of positive thinking, it's used for themselves. And if you look at Jesus' life, how he walked, he never thought about himself. It was always anybody, everybody else, but not himself. So that's quite a huge difference for me in the use of faith to make a discernment when it's for the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness is when you use your faith towards the kingdom for the betterment of the kingdom or in love. And the kingdom of darkness will use faith for themselves or their own circumstances. It's very seldom for anybody else. That's just something that came to my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to look like Jesus. Everything about him is going to be just like Jesus. We're seeing some things now that I never dreamed possible. With things that are going on, and it's very heartening to me to see the things that are going on right now in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm is where we need to be walking, right? We need to be walking by the Spirit all the time. And if you're walking by the Spirit, you won't be deceived, because the Spirit will keep you. The Spirit of God will keep you from stomping your toe. It's when we get in the flesh that we mess up. I am so excited. I can't tell you how excited I am about what's fixing to happen to everybody here that wants it, that's doing everything they can, is running after the Lord. Remember what he said in Matthew? One of them, 36, I think, 6, that is Andrew. He says, you're going after me with all your heart. These other things will fall into place. And when you run after the Lord, with all your heart, the only thing you got on your mind is Jesus. When you got on your mind nothing but Jesus, he's talking to you the whole way. This man-child ministry is going to be listening to the Spirit of God, just like Jesus did. It's going to be a game changer when all of this stuff, when the Lord starts emptying out these churches because the pastor doesn't know that God heals, doesn't know that God delivers, doesn't know that the Holy Spirit is real today as he was on Pentecost. Glory to God. Because I know, and y'all do too, that our God is real, and he's just like I saw Jesus last night in the meeting. He's right there with us all the time. He loves us, every one of us. And he's going to see to it that you're a part of this ministry, the ministry of the man, child, and bride ministry, if you run after him with all your heart. There is an if. Everybody knows there's a if in the salvation. Some people don't. Whole denominations don't. Man, you go out there and shake that pastor's hand, you got it, buddy. You are in like men. No. Okay, 6 and 33. What did I say? 36 and 3 or something like that. Anyway, hey, we're out of time. Hey, what do y'all want to talk about Thursday night? Go back into, we need to get back into Proverbs. Yeah, Missy.
Isn't Thursday worship night?
Oh, is it?
Praise and worship.
Never you mind. All right. Y'all be blessed. Yeah. Did I record this? Oh, there it is.